Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and welcome to Rio Rancho Presbyterian Church on this beautiful Sunday morning. We're glad to have you here. Know that you need to do what you need to do to protect yourself through this coronavirus epidemic, pandemic, whatever epidemic it is. Just two notes of self-disclosure. One is that I have allergies. My doctor has affirmed that I have allergies. That's why I'm losing my voice. Usually once a year I lose my voice. Most of you know that. It chose this time. Isn't that nice? The other thing is Adam Pitts is not here, not because he's a lazy youth, because he's not, but because his father may have been exposed to someone who have been in hot spots where the virus is, and so we are erring on the side of caution, and he is not here. So there'll be different people helping me with worship, and some of it will be done by me. Welcome to what our world is going to be like for the next few weeks. But our big piece of news, yeah, we should have had him do that.
Okay, so take a look. There she is, our brand new organ. And
Nathan has gotten to touch it for the first time this morning, and there's a ton to learn, so be patient with us. The other thing that will be changing over the next few weeks is we will be getting rid of our old speakers, and Chuck and Craig will be putting in new state-of-the-art speakers in the back. We can actually make this sound like a cathedral if we want to, all the way down to a small chapel. So over the next several weeks, several months, enjoy hearing all the different capabilities our new organ has, but also be patient with us as we learn. Thanks so much.
Now to the less exciting parts of our things. The Scholars Luncheon has been postponed to a date yet to be determined. We've decided that eating together is probably not a wise move at this point. Naomi's Friends has been canceled for tomorrow. And then just some things about what's going on here. Things are changing quickly, as you know, every day. Things are different. I would say to you to watch your email. If you don't do computers, your deacons will be in touch with you to keep you updated. Even if you do, your deacons may be updating you, just to be in touch with you. And session will be meeting immediately following worship to establish some next steps. If you do not receive the witness electronically, or if you do, but you didn't get my email this week, please write your name and your email address clearly on the pad or on the clipboard out in the narthex, so that Karen can double check and update things. And if you didn't receive something and you normally do hear from us, let your deacon know that when they call you, so that because this is going to be a great test for our email system, because you will be getting probably semi-frequent things. Yes, Kim. Check your messages. Check your emails and check. Yeah, somebody called me today, and I said, did you check your email? I don't usually check my email very often. Okay, so I told them, please do, because, you know, we could have 150 people calling us, but we might not be able to get back to you. So it's wise to do that. If you want to know if a group is meeting, start with the person who's in charge of that group, the contact person, like a committee chair or, you know, somebody who kind of is the organizer for a group. And if you're a contact person chair and your group is not meeting, please let the church office know, just so that if we do get calls, we'll have up-to-date information for you. Finally, I just want to say to you, these are going to be, any decision we make in the next couple of weeks are going to be hard decisions for your church leaders to make. And it's kind of a danged if you do and danged if you don't. So I'm going to ask as you being all my friends, as well as I being your pastor, that you be gracious with us and that you support whatever decisions we make. Because I can tell you your church leadership has the well-being of this congregation first and foremost. And so we might be trying some different things if we're not meeting in person. Because the two things I'm most concerned about is that people are spiritually fed during this time, because it's very difficult, and that community is maintained insofar as we can do it. So if we're not meeting in person, or if your committee's not meeting in person, or your group, contact me, because I may have a way that you can meet electronically. And it's not very hard. And you can look at each other on the computer, whether you want to or not. But there are some other answers that we can kind of maintain community, because that's going to be important, that people don't feel isolated. And I've already heard that from a member or two, that they're already feeling kind of isolated as things get canceled. So that being said, we're going to learn a new way to pass the peace. Yeah, well, we're coming to that one, but this week is going to be more complicated. And here's what we're going to be doing. It's sign language. Peace with you. And then the answer is more fun, and also with you. Peace with you. So, peace with you. So, you don't need to get up. Just turn to the people next to you and do your best. If nothing else, you just do this. Peace with you. All right. Bill, peace with you. There we go, see? Peace be with you and also with you. That's the fun part. Looks like you're having a beer. Yeah. I'll just do this to all of you. And also with you.
Thank you.
called us here this day, let us respond with the call to worship found in your bulletin. Come and see the ambassador of God's friendship for us.
We will find Jesus praying to be
come and hear the one who speaks of God's joy in us.
We will listen to Jesus, whose words of grace and peace raise our raptors to our hope.
Come and know how much God loves you.
We will start our Jesus, who offers us the gift of reconciliation.
We will sing together hymn number 386 in Glory to God, Come Worship God. Before I call all of you to confession, I have a confession to make myself. I forgot an announcement, and that is that we will not be having fellowship time. We just decided it wasn't very wise to eat together at this point, but a communion of the Holy Spirit. Let us be called to confess our sins. Walking the dog, reading a bedtime story, recycling newspapers, in every moment, in every place, God is there. Let us confess how often we do not see God in our lives, nor in those around us. Join me as we pray together, and then in silence, praying together. God of eternity, you know how often we travel down the rocky roads of doubt and fear. We pester others with our worries. We hurl bitter words at those we love. We have chances to offer ourselves service, but only give our contempt to those in need. We could share the living waters with the world, but want to store it in jars for safekeeping. fountain of grace, you turn towards us to meet us wherever we are. You break open our rock-hard sin so we might be made whole. In Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, our thirst for hope and joy is quenched. God does not disappoint us. Our sins are forgiven. Our lives are made whole. We are sent forth to serve.
Jesus Christ, living Lord, pray to the root of our hearts. In such a moment, that we don't have enough of this world at all. Thanks be to God. Amen.
To receive God's word, let us pray together that we might be illumined. Loving God, fountain of every blessing, open to us your life-giving word and fill us with your Holy Spirit so that living water may flow through our hearts, a spring of hope for a thirsty world, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Let us hear the uplifting word from Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 14. You can follow along in your pew Bible on page 1067. For once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you."
I've heard there was a secret chord that David played, and it pleased the Lord, but you don't really care for music, do you? It was a chord that we Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
I wish I could say that today's psalm is one in which God promises his eternal guidance and presence and counsel to his people. Unfortunately, that is not the case. Lectionary lessons are prepared months, if not years, in advance. It's almost, in fact, and Murphy is laughing his fool head off, the exact opposite. Psalm 95 begins as a joyous hymn to the greatness of God, praising him above all else. He will take care of us. And just when we think we know exactly where the psalmist is going, he abruptly makes a 180-degree turn with a very loud if. At this point, God himself interrupts, and pointing an accusing finger at the reader of his word, reminds us all what will happen to us if we don't obey a now provoked God. To drive his point home, he reminds us of his anger with the Israelites following their exodus from Egypt and what happened when they failed to obey him. What a transition this has turned out to be. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come to him with thanksgiving. Let us sing psalms of praise to him. For the Lord is a great God, a great king above all gods. He holds in his hand the depths of the earth and the mightiest mountains. The sea belongs to him, for he made it. His hands formed the dry land too. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. We are the people he watches over, the flock under his care. If only you would listen to his voice today. The Lord says, don't harden your hearts as Israel did at Meribah, as they did at Massah in the wilderness. For there your ancestors tested and tried my patience, even though they saw everything I did. For 40 years I was angry with them. And I said, they are a people whose hearts turn away from me. They refuse to do what I tell them. So in my anger, I took an oath. They will never enter my place of rest.
We have no children, so I'm going to keep moving. So I'll invite Dave and John to join me. And while they're coming over, Nancy, I just want you to know, I know that we were questioning whether or not to sing that because we're a diminished group. There were tears. There were people singing along. You all are to be commended. The Holy Spirit certainly moved through you this morning. Thank you. Our gospel reading comes from John, the 4th chapter. It's a lengthy story, and so I have asked John and Dave to help me with this a bit.
Jesus had to travel through Samaria. He came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, which was near the land that Jacob had given to his son, Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus was tired from his journey, so he sat down at the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to the well to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me some water to drink. His disciples had gone to the city to buy some food.
Why do you, a Jewish man, ask for something to drink from me, a Samaritan woman?
If you recognize God's gift, and who is saying to you, give me some water to drink, you would be asking him, and he would give you living water.
Sir, you don't have a bucket, and the well is deep. Where would you get this living water? You aren't greater than our father Jacob, are you? He gave this well to us, and he drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock.
Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks from the water that I will give will never be thirsty again. The water that I give will become in those who drink it a spring of water that bubbles up into eternal life.
Sir, give me this water so that I will never be thirsty and will never need to come here to draw water.
Go, get your husband and come back here.
I don't have a husband.
You are right to say I do not have a husband. You've had five husbands, and the man you are with now isn't your husband. You've spoken the truth.
Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you and your people say that it's necessary to worship in Jerusalem.
Believe me, woman, the time is coming when you and your people will worship the Father neither on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You and your people worship what you do not know. We worship what we know because salvation is from the Jews. But the time is coming, and indeed is here now, when true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. The Father looks for those who worship him in this way. God is spirit, and it is necessary to worship God in spirit and in truth.
I know that the Messiah is coming, the one who is called the Christ. When he comes, he will teach everything to us.
I am the one who speaks to you.
Just then, Jesus' disciples arrived and were shocked that he was talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want, or why are you talking with her? The woman put down her water jar and went into the city.
Come and see a man who has told me everything I've done. Could this man be the Christ?
Then they left the city and were on their way to see Jesus. Many Samaritans in that city believed in Jesus just because of the woman's word when she testified, "He told me everything I've done." So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. Many more believed then because of his word, and they said to the woman, "We no longer believe because of what you said, for we have heard ourselves and know that this one is truly the Savior of the world."
This is the word of the Lord.
And thanks be to John and David.
Just so you know, this was another example of flexibility. Nancy Schombach was supposed to actually be the woman of the well, and I was supposed to be Jesus. But Nancy is pretty much going from the neighborhood to home and back and does not want to be around other folks, and she works with very vulnerable folks. And since Adam isn't here, John stepped in. So, yay. I am most grateful. Well, we have moved from the dark of night and a visit from Nicodemus to the bright noonday sun. Jesus has entered Samaria, that unclean place of unclean people who were the enemy of the Jews. He is at Jacob's well, and the disciples have gone off to find lunch. A woman approaches, a Samaritan woman, who comes after all the other women have come in the cool of the morning, perhaps to avoid the other women. We really aren't sure. Her past marriages are a question that remain unanswered. Some would have you think she's been divorced a few times. And yet we don't know but what she's been widowed, or the victim of husbands who didn't get the children they wanted and thus divorced her. We're told the man she lives with is not her husband, And yet, we don't know who he is. We don't know. He could be a kinsman. Jesus does not instruct her to leave her sinful life, nor does he judge her. He simply states the facts. So there's much we do not know about this Samaritan woman, including her name, of course. But one thing we do know about her is she knows theology, not only of her own people, but of the Jewish faith as well, and that she can stand on her own with the theologian's theologian, Jesus of Nazareth. She is well aware of the animosity between the Jews and the Samaritans, knows about the Messiah, even understands the worship practices of both groups. She knows enough to know that speaking up to him could cost her life. Speaking to a man in public, giving the man a drink of water, were all very risky for her. So here they are out in the midday sun. The midday sun where all is seen and exposed, where the truth about ourselves can be clearly seen, our wrinkles and our imperfections, our regrets and wanderings, our losses. All those cracked and broken places in us, in ourselves and our lives that we hope others do not notice, that we try to keep in the shadows. But for this woman, they are all there for Jesus to see. Now, history has made this woman a woman of a single story, and a story that isn't even clearly there in Scripture. We've made a lot of presumptions. She has been made into a promiscuous, sinful woman. But Jesus sees more than a single story. He doesn't have any preconceived notions about her at all. He knows that her life is more complicated than it might at first appear. He knows that she is not a woman of one story, but of many stories. And what Jesus sees, frankly, is a woman worth talking with. Do you know that this is the longest conversation Jesus has with anyone in the Gospels? I'll let Mike go home and count verses for me. You check on that. He takes this woman seriously. He engages her in offering her something more than her faith has to offer. He offers her the living water of faith in him. He sees that she thirsts for more, and regardless of who she is worthy of hearing the good news. So they talk about important things, life and worship in the Spirit. Jesus explains that no one will be worshiping as they did before. Perhaps those are words we need to hear today. Eugene Peterson, in The Message, he paraphrases this beautifully. He writes, "It's who you are and the way you live that count before God. You must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth." That's the kind of people the Father is out looking for. Those who are simply and honestly themselves before God in their worship. God is sheer being itself, spirit. Those who worship him must do it out of their very being, their spirits, their true selves, in adoration. Imagine what worship would be like if when we came to worship, we were ready to engage our spirit in pursuit of God's truth. If when we came, we were simply and honestly ourselves before God here. If our worship comes from us, our spirit, in addition, we seek to adore God in any way we can. Imagine if when we entered here, that's all that mattered. That we were able to offer God all of who we are in praise and adoration. In the coming weeks, our spirit of worship and community are going to be challenged. It will give us pause as to what it means for us to worship in spirit and in truth. The woman at the well may not have fully understood everything he said, but she believed the Messiah was coming and had the Messiah fully revealed to her in Jesus. She was changed by this encounter, as were all the people of the town, because of their experience of Jesus. While her testimony may have drawn them initially to Jesus, it was their own encounters that brought faith to life in them. Each week, each day, we have opportunities for transformation. The woman was going to the well as she did every single day. And yet she was willing first to risk engaging Jesus and then listening and receiving what he had to share. She was willing to push and give and take. How many times do we not take the risk and thus have an opportunity to miss an opportunity to have God more fully revealed to us and our lives changed because of it? Imagine if this woman had ignored Jesus, was afraid to speak to him, or had gone home and had told no one about her encounter, thinking that no one would believe her. This woman's life was known to Jesus, and yet he took the time to teach her. He crossed boundaries of faith, of race, of gender, went way beyond prejudice to open new life to another person. She took the risk of listening and responding. Just as Nicodemus took a risk going to Jesus, so did this woman in answering him. You see, our relationship with Jesus is not without risk. To think otherwise is only to fool ourselves. When we are in relationship with God's Son, life is different for us. We are no longer satisfied with our life as long as there are others who struggle, whether for food or shelter or with illness or grief or pain. We're not at peace until all are at peace, sharing in the life we have the privilege to enjoy. But it is a risk that is more than worth taking. Living water, a thirst forever quenched, a love that will not let us go. Amen. Please stand as you're comfortable, and we will sing together hymn number 451, In Glory to God, Open My Eyes That I May See.
Thank you.
as we come together in prayer, I'm going to open our prayer, and I only have one prayer request that I'll share, because certainly our prayers need to be around what's happening with this virus and those whose lives are directly affected by it. But I will open our prayers and leave a time for you to silently or aloud lift your prayers to God, and then I will close us and we'll end with the Lord's Prayer. Ona Mitchell reached out to me this morning. They're not in worship because she was rear-ended in a car accident. She's sore and all those things you get when you've been in a car accident. She's otherwise fine, but she did ask for prayers. So let us be in a spirit of prayer. Oh God, your world today is struggling with a disease that travels in ways we don't fully understand, has isolated us from one another, has taken lives, and we're still unsure about how to respond, and so we turn to you for wisdom. But we entrust to you also those who are separated from their loved ones in this time, those who have difficult decisions to make, those who are isolated and fearful or lonely or sad. In this time, O God, use us as the body of Christ to reach out to one another in ways that can bring the community back together, to love one another, to stay in relationship. We pray for your healing spirit upon the earth. We are grateful for doctors and scientists and how hard they are working. We ask that you watch healthcare workers who literally are putting themselves in harm's way. And we ask that you fill all hearts with a sense of your peace so that fear and anxiety do not have the victory here. Because we know, God, this is not the only problem the world faces. It's just the most present. And now, O God, hear the prayers of your people. Hear all our prayers, O God. Continue to open our hearts to your guidance, your spirit, your compassion. We join our voices praying together the prayer Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Like many other things, we're going to do the offering a little bit differently. I'm kind of looking at people because I know there's a plate over here by Liz. There's a plate here. There's a plate at the back. Are there just three? And one for the choir because we don't want to forget your money. But what I'm going to say to you is, as Nathan plays the offertory, you can make your way up to offer your gifts to God, or you can wait and give them as you go out. Either way, let us, in gratitude for all God is doing in our lives, offer our gifts and offerings. Thank you. Join me in dedicating our offering, praying together. We pray, gracious God, that our gifts may provide nourishment to those who thirst for justice, strength to those who hunger for hope, a community to those living in loneliness. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our sending song is number 81 in Glory to God, Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken. Go from here confident that God goes with us and that we are people who are ready to be transformed by the ways that Jesus comes to us. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the unimaginable love of our God, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit be with each of you now and forever. Amen.